As you open your Bibles, please open your spirits, open your hearts. This is an extension of the messages that we're doing about the heart of David. Judy, you have a word for Jonathan, I believe, and we'll minister that. Don't let me negate that. Okay, we'll get that though. I have several titles, and I don't know which one to really tack to it. Nations and their gods, or the war zone, or Baal Lafayette. And I think it's going to be Baal Lafayette. BAAL-LAFAYETTE. Baal Lafayette. Psalms 97, and let's start with verse 5. Let me get there. No, I'm in the wrong psalm. Maybe we won't start it at 5. Psalms 97. Verse 7. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship Him, all you gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Judah have rejoiced because of Thy judgments, O Lord. For Thou art the Lord Most High over all the earth. Thou art exalted above all gods. Say, He's exalted above all gods. He's exalted above all gods. And when you read these passages, and I was astounded as I looked in the Strong's Concordances at the numbers that gods, little G-O-D-S, is found. I was astonished at the times that that is referred to in the Bibles, and it's over 100 times, and it's probably close to 200. And it's amazing to me that God so readily identifies that there are other gods, but they're always with a little g. Look, if you will, with me in the book of Exodus, chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23 comes immediately after the Decalogue has been given, the Ten Commandments. God begins to instruct His people. God begins to show us what God wants us to do after we received into our hearts the engrafted Word of God. The time at Sinai is typified into the New Testament as the type at Pentecost where God can come into our hearts. It's the third month, and they were at the third month at Sinai. They're at the third month now at Pentecost, and it's that time when God can come into our lives and do something in our hearts, and we're talking about that. So after we've received that part of God and received the engrafted Word into our hearts, into our spirits, and received His directions, then He begins to tell us what He'll have us to do. And here in chapters 23 of Exodus, beginning at verse 23, He says, "For My angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites and Hittites and Perizzites and Canaanites and Hivites and Jebusites and Lephaitites, and I will completely destroy them. You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds. For you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces." Do you see what the Lord is instructing His people to do? Let's go on, and I'm going to come back and just kind of go through this and recap it. "But you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless you. Your bread and your water, it'll be blessed. And He says, I will remove sickness from your midst." Huh? We're still preaching about sickness, aren't we? You can't preach the covenant without preaching about getting over sickness and getting healed. Verse 26. "There shall be no more miscarrying or bearing or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send My terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets ahead of you, and they may drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year." See, we're still on time. "That the land may not become desolate, and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little, until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. And I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness of the river Euphrates. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. You will make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not live in your land, lest they make you sin against me. And if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Now, it was very important what I said. This is what God wants His people to do. He wants them to go into a place that He puts them, that He leads them, that He takes them. And He wants them to possess that place. And He wants them to possess that land. And it hasn't changed. He says, I'll build my... It hasn't changed. He says, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is going against the gates of hell. Once they're identified, then the church is to go against them. And His promises that they will not prevail. Verse 23, He says, my angel will be with you. How many sees this is going to be spiritual warfare? Huh? But He says, I will completely destroy them. He says, I will. He says, I will completely destroy them. But who was the one that yielded the swords? And who was the one that had to get before God with their armor on? It was the people. And I'll be there at the end of the message, but did not Paul say, now therefore, be strong in the power of the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, what are you doing? Oh, Freeman. Hi, Freeman. Didn't see Freeman for a second. And then in verse 24, he says, do not worship their gods. And notice that it's plural. He says, utterly overthrow them and break them to pieces. How does he want us to do their gods? Utterly destroy them and utterly break them into pieces. Now, I want to say this right here. What is he really after? Is he really after these people? Or is he after the demonic forces that motivate and energize these people? You see that? He's never disliked people. But He hates those things that motivate us and energize us if they're contrary to His righteousness and to His ways. And it's that thing that He's after. He says, utterly to overthrow them and break them to pieces. Verse 25 says, if you do this, I'll bless you. He says, I'll bless your food. I'll bless the word that your preacher gets to preach to you. I'll bless your water. I'll bless the spirit that you swim in when you come. Amen. How many has done a little swimming? See? And He says, I'll remove sickness. Glory. He says, I'll bless your wombs. I'll make you live a long time. Now, He'll do this if we're doing what He said to do, which is utterly destroy and crush to pieces those gods. I wish Ted was here. Ted wants to see healing so bad in the body of Christ, and I want to show him these. Ted, one reason that we're not seeing healing is because the church isn't crushing the gods of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Leviathites. Verse 27 and 28, He says, I'll send ahead of you terror and hornets. Have you ever had hornets after you? Huh? You have, haven't you? It was a terror, wasn't there? I mean, you were stretching out. And that's the picture that He's pointing here. He wants us to see that when we'll come and do what we're supposed to do, they'll flee. If one can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000. I'm telling you, the mission of the church is not to hang on until Jesus comes. The mission of the church is to drive the gods out of the lands. Verse 29 and 30, He says it'll take a while. Warfare takes a while. We live in an instant society. You want a hamburger right now, how long would it take you to get one? How long does it take to go to Wendy's? Then you got to have one, right? But we live in an instant grits. It's instant everything. We want it and we want it now, and that's probably one of my biggest problems. God is teaching me patience. But He says, if you do this, then you must be fruitful. And you must possess the land. And verse 31 says that he'll fix the boundaries. And verse 32 says, not to make covenant with their gods. And verse 33 says, if you do, they'll become a snare to you. So, a lot of Christians that I know of today, and sometimes I look at myself in my life, I have become snared by the gods of the Egyptians, or the gods of the Amorite, or the gods of the Hivites. Things snare me sometimes. Can you relate to what I'm trying to communicate here? God's plan for His covenant people was to go into the area specifically bounded by Him. War with and overthrow the gods of that area. They did this. If they did this, God would bless them. If they did not do this, the gods would become a snare to them. But He added, I'll do it. Aren't you glad? He'll do it. Now, as we study the life and the heart of David, we see that this is exactly what David did. David went in, and his kingdom was not developed overnight. It was not instant. It took a lifetime. But little by little, and kingdom by kingdom, he brought down the gods of the boundaries which God had put him in. And I want to bring that into a very relevant place in our lives, into our church. See if I can draw this for us. Up here we have Asia Minor, and it came down and came in and down into Egypt. Down here was Egypt. Here we'll have Sea of Galilee. It comes down into the Dead Sea, flows on down into the Red Sea, which becomes very necessary to know where that's at. Then these nations that were here. Down here we had Moab, to the extreme south. And then as you moved east, we come up to Ammon was there. And Edom, I think Edom was even further south than Moab. Let me do it this way. Moab and Edom was here. Right over here by the coast was Philistia. Up here was Phoenicia. The Euphrates River ran like this. Babylon was way to the extreme other side of the river. Assyria was here, and Syria was there. Now, he gave the specific boundaries of what was here. This is the Mediterranean Sea, and it's referred to in the passage that we just read as the Sea of the Philistines. It comes necessary to understand this so that we can understand what we're reading here in the book of Exodus, what God promised His people. And so what we find, I have colors on it, is that He promised them this. This would be their area, coming from here down by the Red Sea, coming over to the Euphrates River, coming up through here like this, and then over here to the Sea of the Philistines. This then becomes the land that God had promised His people and told them to go into. But how many see there's some Edomites and some Moabites and some Ammonites? There's some Assyrians and some Phoenicians and some Philistines in the land. Now, I can bring this into individual places. I can tell you that when God saved you, that in your heart, in your life, there are some gods that belong to Edom, and some gods that belong to Amnon and Moab. I could do this, but that's not what I want to bring it to today. I want to bring this to the church. And I want to declare to us that I believe that the Lord God has placed a church in an area to drive out the enemies. And not necessarily does it have to be this church, but the purpose of the church is to drive out. You see, I could drop back down and to bring into this the 12 different tribes that make up Israel, right? Or 12 different denominations. I could do it that way. What I'm trying to bring it to is that the purpose of the people of God is to drive out these enemies. I know that's not difficult. I know you understand what I've just said. But in verse 24 that we've just read, He says, utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. Now, pillars is what begins to hold something up. A pillar is what something is built upon. And he's talking about the gods. He says, I want you to utterly destroy their gods and break down what those gods are established on. It's not good enough just to kill the people. He says, I want the gods destroyed. And so it now becomes then necessary to understand something about these gods. He's after basically these gods. And so let's look at their gods as quickly as I can. The first one that I want to look at is Moab. And I'm not going to turn to all these, but I just want you to kind of see where I'm coming from. And let's get in the same mindset. And you can study this out as you want to. But look with me in Numbers 25. In Numbers 25, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 25. What's happening here is Israel has come to Moab, the land of Moab. And this is where, remember the story about Balaam, where the donkey talked to Balaam? This is that place in the Bible. And Balak sent for Balaam to come and prophesy over Israel, and he came, but he couldn't curse them. So what he planned to do was then to trick them. Let them get attached to the gods of the land, and that will defile the people. And that's what's happening right here. In verse 1 of 25 of Numbers, while Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. And they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. How many of you know that sometimes we're invited to places that we shouldn't go? And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll hook up with the wrong god. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor. Do you see that? Baal of Peor. Or Baal Peor. And the Lord was angry against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you, slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal Peor. Would you say God was ticked off? He wasn't happy about this happening to his people. And Baal Peor tells us then the god that they attached to. Now, Moab served this one god and they have another one. But the first one is Baal Peor. Now, I looked it up this morning. And Baal basically means the deity that's over an area. Baal is a Phoenician deity, but it's a deity over any area. And Peor means abode. So it's the deity that's over the abode. It's the deity that's over that area. We would say maybe the prince of the air. Or maybe we would say the principality of the air. I'm talking about warfare this morning, folk. We're talking about something that's over an area. The people in the Bible saw in a very real way that there was a principality over an area. Do Christians, for the most part, believe that? They basically don't believe that. They basically don't believe. And I'm going to show you something, that there are principalities over areas. And you can get this afterwards if you'd like. I don't know. But I looked it up this morning in the Strong's Concordance. How many is up there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17... 18 references to Baals. And there are different Baals. Different areas. Every one of those is talking about a specific city. A specific area. Baal-zebub is here. Remember when they called Jesus Baal-zebub? You're of Baal-zebub. You're the prince of the power that's over this area. That's why you can do these things. But all of these are Baals. Baal-bereth. Baal Gad, Baal Hamon, Baal Hanan, Baal Hazar, Baal Hermon, Baal Meon, Baal Peor, that's where we're at right now. Baal Perazim, and there they are. Now, What happened to these Baals? I'm asking you, are they still here? Could there be a Baal of faith? You know there's a Baal of faith. I've been so discouraged this week. I was down. My chin was bumping the ground. I was discouraged over the meetings, discouraged over a lot of things. I entertained thoughts this week that I have not entertained in 5 years. I literally thought about giving up. And you know what brought me out of it? You know what finally, I was angry. I was angry. And you know what brought me out of it? Was when I finally realized I'm in war. I finally realized that there is an enemy that doesn't like me. There's an enemy that I'm unveiling, folk. I'm pulling the cover off of him. And I'm revealing him. And he don't like me. And it was not until I found out, and that dawned on me, that we're in battle, that I come out of that thing. And so what I'm trying to tell you this morning, have you felt this week? Have you felt? Have you been sick? Have you been down in your spirit, down in your soul, down in your body? Have you been depressed? Is something going on? Is something wrong? I want you to understand you're in a battle. You're in a warfare. Don't consider these things strange. God has us in war. That's His purpose for His people. In the Bible, they very readily saw that there was a power over an area. And we're dumb to that. And one thing that the Lord is wanting us to understand today, folks, is there's a power over this area. Baal refers to the deity over the city or an area. And it can be attached to the name of a person who is looked at as the deity or the power over that city or that area. Moab had Baal Peor. And Israel joined themselves to that Baal Peor. Israel joined themselves to that God. Now, that God was an immoral God. And I don't know if you know the story of what happened here. If you read on, if you look in just verse 9, they contracted a plague and it killed 24,000 men. That plague was allowed of God. He was an immoral God, and I believe it was an immoral plague. I believe it was something like syphilis or some kind of disease that can come upon a man. What Baal Peor had was immoralities. He encouraged sexual promiscuity. He encouraged sexual inhabitations with people that they should not be inhabitating with. Now also, Moab had another god. And this god's name was Chemosh. Chemosh. C-H-E-M-O-S-H. Give you some references if you're taking notes. Numbers 21:29. Judges 11:24. 2 Kings 23:13. Jeremiah 48:7. What Chemosh was this God that we talk about, and sometimes we call Him Moloch, and sometimes we call Him Chemosh. But it was the God that was made a big ugly thing and held in His arms a big bowl, and under this big bowl was a fire. And they would heat this fire up, and they would heat this bowl up, and people would cast their babies into that fire. Let me ask you something. Is Baal Peor still here today? Is Chemosh still here today? I want you to understand the God, these gods are still around. People are still worshiping Baal Peor and Chemosh and Moloch. And Chemosh usually always shows up when Baal shows up. You've got to have something to do with these babies. Because your sexual activity is not for the correct purposes, it's for promiscuity, it's for self, it's for self-indulgences. This is something that is always. That's why abortion is legalized in our land. Because we're a promiscuous land. Let's look at Amnon. So here we have, at Moab, we have Baal, Peor, and we have Chemosh. Now did God want these gods driven out of His land? Ammon, A-M-M-O-N, Ammonites. Ammon. Their god was Molech or Milcom. Leviticus 18:21, 2 Kings 23:10, Jeremiah 32:35, and Amos 5:26 all refers to Molech. Now, let's look real quickly at Deuteronomy 12:31, and I hope maybe this will be the last god scripture like this, little gods that we look at. I don't know. 12 and 31 says, "You shall not behave thus toward the Lord your God, for every abomination, every abominable act which the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do, and you shall not add to nor take away from it." Now this again is the same God that we're talking about, Chemosh or Molech. It was a God that people sacrificed their kids to. Now I could expand this. We're not just talking about abortion. We're talking about a system of education. We're talking about a television set. We're talking about rock music. And understand me, young people. I'm not putting down what you do. I'm just wanting you to see that it's a God that can get into you and it can be a snare to you. A lot of things are on televisions right now about demonic worship. And so many of these kids have got involved with this game of Dungeons and Dragons. It can be a snare to you. We're not just talking about the God of abortion. We're talking about gods that are in the earth and in our city and in this area, that God wants something to rise up, a church that will storm the gates of hell and will drive those things out of here. How about Phoenicia? Let me write Molech down up here. Amnon had Molech. Phoenicia. Phoenicia was where Jezebel was from, Ahab's wife. You remember the story, right? Jezebel was from there. She married Ahab. The gods that they had were the gods that were faced on Mount Carmel by Elijah. The gods were Baal, another Baal, immorality, and Astarte. Now, Astarte or Ashtaroth, Judges 2:13 and 10:6. In 1 Samuel 7:3, and 1 Samuel 31:10, and 1 Kings 11:33, and 2 I'm just giving you these so that you should have these references in your Bible. But I'm just giving you these to let you know that these aren't just little things that you go and snatch out here or snatch out. These are things that permeate the Scriptures. Astarte, she was the god of the temple. She had both male priests and female princes that functioned in her temple. The male priest to be a priest in the temple of Ashtaroth had to be a homosexual. It was a prostitution. To be a princess, you had to be a female prostitute. And that's what Baal brought into the land. That's what Jezebel brought into the land. Her name even kind of resembles that thought, Jezebel. You really read about her again in the book of Revelation, you find out that she's immoral. That immoral woman, Jezebel. He says, get her out of the church. So Phoenicia has Jezebel. Philistia, land of the Philistines, had Dagon. How many remembers Dagon? Remember Dagon? We talked about Dagon before. Remember Dagon, Bonnie? Remember Dagon, huh? Judges 16:23, 1 Samuel 5:2, 1 Chronicles 10:10, and just talks about Dagon. He's the god of the Philistines. He was the god that Samson came against. He was the god that got Samson. He was the god that snared him. Dagon means fish god. The word means to vibrate. The root word means to spawn. Think about it. When you see some of these people dancing, don't look like they're like fish spawning. Yep. Dagon. Babylon. We know what Daniel chapter 2 talks about Babylon. They had that image. Head of gold. Shoulders, chest of silver. Loins bronze. Feet of clay. Humanism, power, ruling. That's what Babylon was all about. How about Egypt? Remember the plagues that were in Egypt? What were the plagues in Egypt really coming against? The gods of Egypt. They had the lice god, the frog god, the Nile god, the fly god. They had the heat god, the thunder, hail, and fire god, the locust god, the sun god. And Pharaoh thought he would live forever, the eternal god. God of things. God of things. Mammon. All kind of things. Look with me in 1 Samuel 17. You hear what I'm saying, so there's no need in continuing on in this line. You see that what God is telling His people here to do is, I'm giving you this land. I'm setting out your boundaries. Now drive the enemies out. Is this what God is saying here? All right. And they're defined in there what these gods do. And they're the same Baals. They're the same powers and principalities that we fight today. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want us to see that it was not a war of flesh and blood. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with what? Principalities and powers. I want you to see that David did the same thing. I'm not going to advocate here that we go get us a real sword and a real machete and a real automatic weapon and go kill the Philistines. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm wanting us to see that David was after the same thing. He wanted that God that energized. He wanted that demon force that was the pillar of that society. And he wanted to crush it and crumble it. 1 Samuel 17 is talking about the well-beloved story of David and Goliath. And I want you to see something. And let's start reading verse 41. Then the Philistine came. This is talking about Goliath. The Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine took and looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his what? Gods. Now, what did David say? Yeah, he says, "You're coming to me with a spear and a javelin." He says, "But I'm coming to you in the name of my Lord God Jehovah, the covenant God." Let's read it. Verse 45. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." A God! Big G! It wasn't a war of flesh and blood even in David's day. What the whole thing is about is destroying the gods, the Baals that rule the lands. Smashing them. And here's what I'm trying to say. The wars in the Old Testament were not only flesh and blood. They were spiritual war. Demons energized these people. Baals, the gods, ruled principalities and areas. Were these people religious? Did they serve these gods? They would throw their babies to these gods. They would throw their seed, that they would sacrifice their children to these gods that they worshipped. They would give their bodies as prostitutes and homosexuals to these gods that they worshipped. These gods possessed these. They were religious. They were so devoted to their gods that they would sacrifice their bodies. They were so devoted to their gods that they would give their bodies. Warfare was not the Israelites against the Philistines, the Amorites, or the Moabites. Warfare was their Baals, their gods, against Jehovah. Have we established this? We've got it, haven't we? Amen. Now, what angered these people, you see, it wasn't until Israel come in. When Israel come in here, everything went crazy. Israel wasn't here. You know, Israel wasn't here until they came. That's a revelation. Amen. What I'm trying to say is that Edom had their area, okay? And Moab had their area. And Ammon had their area. And Assyria had their area. And Syria had their area. And Philistia had their area. And the Avites and Jebusites and all those guys had their area. And that was fine because Dagon was God here. And Dagon ruled where the Philistines were. And up here, Ashtaroth was God up there. And they dwelled together. Because their God was only God where they dwelled, over their area. But what bothered these people was that they would read Psalms 24 and they would say, "The earth is the Lord, the earth is Jehovah's, the fullness thereof, the world, and all those that live in it." And all of a sudden now we've got a God that's come in and says, all this is His. We got that same God, folks. All this is His. And they didn't like that. And so they would gang up on Israel. Ammonites would go side with the Philistines and they'd get together and come and battle because they didn't like a God that wanted everything. You just stay over there, Jehovah. Isn't that pretty much what the world tells us? You stay in your building. We'll let you do what you want to do. Just stay there. When we start trying to take this thing out of here and we start coming against the gods that's in our land, buddy, that's when we start meeting some things, isn't it? That's when we start running into some problems because they don't want you to do that. They'll let you stay here in your four walls and your... I want to know now, where did these veils go? Did they disappear? Or are they still here? Is immorality and disease that comes along with immorality still here? The God of Moab. Is the God of abortion still here? Sure. Chemosh, Molech, Milcom, they're still here. How about the God of promiscuity? The God of prostitutes? The God of homosexuals? Is it still here? Sure. Sure, still here. God of Astarte. How about the God of spawning? Rock music. Still here? Sure, Dagon's still here. How about the God of humanism, the idol that Daniel talks about? How about the gods of Egypt, Mammon? How many like Mammon? No, nobody's going to raise their hand now. See, these gods get us and snare us. Ephesians 6:10. I'm shutting down. How many has enjoyed this? It's been good and enlightening. Because we got to see what we're up against. We got to see it. Ephesians 6. I think we'll start about verse 8. Verse 10 is really what I want. Anybody got the interpretation of this? Okay, good. Okay. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Just don't be strong, but be strong in His strength. Okay? Put on the full armor of God. How many sees He's talking about warfare here now? Are we talking about warfare? We're still talking the same thing. Message hasn't changed. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The schemes of the devil or the bales of the devil or the principalities and the powers of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Rulers and powers. Spiritual forces. Could you say Baals? Rulers against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Does God still want them brought down? This is Northwest Georgia. I don't know exactly. Well, we got Lafayette or Walker County here. We got Dade. We got, Chattooga is here, Catoosa, Chattooga, Rome, Whitfield, what? Floyd. All right, that's something. You know, there is definitely a principality here. Do you agree with this? Do you all remember when John Holloway was here and he preached on a Wednesday night and he called the men forward, and the men came and stood right across here, and we turned, and we apologized to our women for not being the men that we should have been. And we wanted to take our place and be rightful. And we felt that at that time, the principality and the power that was in this area bowed his knee. We felt we hurt him. The next week, God began to show me some things and show me how the principality and the power works in this area. We talked about the war that happened here 125 years ago and how manhood was stripped from this area. That womanhood had become manhood. And that spirit is still prevalent here and it's still roaring and it's still here today. And we began to preach about that. And that Sunday we came together as the men met for the first time. And we covenanted together that we were going to go to war against this thing. Do you remember that? And I said, men, I said, the warfare is not what I'm afraid of. What did I say I was afraid of? The casualties. We've had some casualties. I was just about a casualty this week. Oh, not you, Pastor. Yes, me. I'm telling you, I was down. Was I down? I was down. And it wasn't until this was reminded to me and brought to my remembrance, Delbert, you're at war. We determined that there was a spirit that was here, and I've shared with you in past how I can, and I'm not, and you know I love my wife, and I'm not putting her down at all. I love you. You know I love you, don't you? But we go someplace and she's happy and she's full of joy and she's laughter. But we come back here and something happens to her. I didn't understand it. And other men have shared similar things with me that their wives are oppressed and depressed and something just gets on them. And we began to battle with this thing. We declared war against this thing and we began to come against it. And does it seem strange to you that our area is called the Queen of the Highlands? The Queen City of the Highlands? Is it strange to you that the alma mater that we sing at the high school talks about the darkness as the mountain looks over us? We're uncovering this sucker, I'm telling you. God is showing us more and more and more about Him. Baal of Faith, you're coming down. Where is Chemosh? He's coming down. Where's Astarte? Coming down. Dagon, you're coming down. Babylon, you're coming down. Mammon, you're coming down. There's a people that's arming themselves with the full armor of God. And they're going forth. Here's what I'm saying. We're at war. How many's felt something this week? Am I the only one that's been kind of down? How about the past month? If somebody been down, you know, you just kind of, man, I don't want to do this anymore. But I want you to know it's spiritual. But more than anything, I want you to know that the Lord said He'd crush you. I want you to know, number three, He wants Baal of Faith utterly overthrown and the sacred pillar smashed into pieces. I want you to know, number four, that if we do this, He'll bless us. Amen? And I want you to know, number five, that if we do this, the word of Him will go forth and they'll start being like hornets, chasing out other little demons around here. And I want you to know, number six, it will take a while. Wednesday morning. Was I down, fellas, Wednesday morning? Friday morning. Yeah, Friday morning. I was down. I said, man, if this thing ain't going no better than this, let's shut it down. Dr. Cash said, amen. You see, when your leader gets down, number seven, He's given us a boundary. And He says, take it. You've been down this week. You've been down lately. I know many of you that you take this and move it. And you've been able to relate to what I've said to you. I want you to come down. I want us to pray together. Just hold hands and unite ourselves together again. Remind ourselves. I want to tell you that you're in war. I want to tell you that it won't be until you understand that you're in war that you'll understand why you're down. And it won't be until you understand that you're in war and that's why you're down. It won't be until you understand that you can get up. How many of you like every part of your body? I mean, there is nothing. Turk, I bet you like every part of your body, don't you? I think we all got something that we wish was a little different. Huh? But are we a body? And there's things about me that you wish were a little different. I wish this part of me was a little different. Yeah, definitely. But there's parts, I'm making a point. There are parts of our body that we all wish were some different. But who put the members together? Can you see that? Can you hear that? God hath put us together. God hath put the body together as He sees fit, not as we see fit. Amen. Amen? It's by the Spirit of God this thing's going to work because He's going to bring it down. I can't bring it down. I've tried. Roger, you've tried. You can't bring it down. Pastor Tebow's tried. He can't bring it down. Folks, I want you to know, we got to be an army. We got to be a body. We got to be one. Amen. And when we start understanding that, we've all got our place and we're all necessary. And though you wish I was different and you wish you could do something to me, There's some of you that I wish I could do something to, too. But the Lord's showing us, isn't He, that if we don't judge the body correctly, because of that reason, some of us are down and depressed, weak, sick. Praise God. We'll get it before it gets us. It won't kill us. Amen. Would you stand?